I'm a grateful believer. I'm an alcoholic who hasn't had a drink for 32 years, and my name is Ron. Hey, everybody. Tonight, we are on Lesson 19, the name Crossroads. We'll get into that in a minute, what that means. Let me say a little prayer before we get started, if we can. Thank you, dear Jesus, for this opportunity to teach your word and teach your principles. Just help me. Just help me to stay out of the way and get your message out. Get what you want to say and how you want to say it. And just help me get the right words. We just ask for your help. We love you and praise you tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we have moved on in the steps study. 1 week up here, we do a lesson, which is from our step study groups, which I'll get into in a minute. And there's 25 of them. We're on lesson 19 called Crossroads. So there's 8 principles, and we've moved to principle 7, and there's 12 steps, and we've moved up to step 10. So, and I'll read those for you. Principle 7 says, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Step 10 says, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And the Bible verse is 1 Corinthians 10:12, which says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So tonight we're going to talk about being at the crossroads. A little introduction. You have arrived at a very important junction. You have traveled a long road which required facing your denial, surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, taking an honest look at your life, listing, confessing, and sharing all your wrongdoing, being humble enough to allow God to make major changes in you, becoming willing to forgive or make amends, offering your forgiveness to those who have hurt you, and making amends for all the harm that you've caused to others. Wow, that's quite a journey. Not too long ago, most of us would have said that it was an impossible journey, that we could never have changed or grown so much, that we never could have done the work that the first 6 principles and 9 steps have asked us to do. And we would be right. We could never have made it through by ourselves on our own power. In fact, the only reason we have made it this far is because we made a decision way back in principle 3 and in step 3 to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. Jesus explains it this way in John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then in John 14:6, he defines truth by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have been set free from our addictions and our obsessive compulsive behaviors because of the truth we have asked into our hearts, Jesus Christ. Because of this life-changing decision you made, Jesus has come in at your invitation and rebuilt the foundation of your life. You will undoubtedly see major changes if you haven't already. Principle 7 and Step 10 are a crossroads about your recovery. It is not a place to stop and rest on past accomplishments. We need to thank God for getting us this far on our road to recovery. Praise Him for the many victories over our hurts, hang-ups, and habits we have seen in working the first 9 steps, but we also need to continue working the last 3 steps with the same devotion and enthusiasm that has got us to this point in our recoveries. 1 Corinthians 10:12 puts it this way, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. It is in principles 7 and 8 and steps 10, 11, and 12 where you and I will live out our recoveries for the remainder of our time here on this earth, one day at a time. So what's all this talking about? We know we have this meeting, the big meeting, and praise and worship, and we have our groups that we go to after this, and then hopefully some social time. And this is a big part of CR, but we also have the step studies where we really get into the 12 steps and the 8 principles of Celebrate Recovery. And that's really where the meat of this program is, and where we really get into those steps and principles. We work with a group of people, group of men or a group of women, depending on which one you are. And that's as big a part, if not bigger, than all of this. So I do highly recommend that you look into that. But this is one of the lessons. Like I say, there's 25 total lessons in the step studies, and starting, you know, at step one and principle one, and then moving all the way through. And there's questions in there. We answer some questions. There's homework, and then we meet and share, and we really dig deep into our lives and whatnot. So what this is talking about tonight is in that step study, or in these steps, if you work them, we're at just now finished step 9 and principle 6. So we're 3/4 of the way through this major program, and this major spiritual growth and experience. And so we have at this point, if we've tried our best and done this, that we've learned a lot about ourselves. We've looked into ourselves. We've grown closer to God. We come in here for different reasons, but whatever that was that got us here, we've hopefully got a good handle on that, or getting a handle on it, learning about it. We're doing better and feeling better. And so it is a tendency at this point to sort of, you know, one of the curses in a way of recovery and whatnot is recovery and recovering and feeling better. And we feel better, so why go anymore? Why do, you know, I feel good now, why do anymore? Not realizing that, you know, this is a lifelong process. Whatever got us here in the first place can creep back up and bring us here again if we're not, you know. And so what it's saying here at this point is don't quit before the miracle happens. Don't stop too early, just when you're doing better and feeling better, hopefully, but there's more, and hang in and finish this. Since you've gone this far, you know, why not? So that's what the crossroads is about, and I agree with that. So the first 9 steps and 6 principles, we sort of dealt with the past, our past, and looked into it and did the work. The next 2 principles and 3 steps is about now and about our future. This is what we do daily, hopefully, and how we keep up with ourselves and keep track and move forward. And so it shows us how to do that. So that's kind of where we're at this point with the lesson on crossroads. Step 10. As we begin to work step 10, we will see that it is made up of 3 key parts. The what, we continue to take personal inventory. The why, number 2, the why, and when we were wrong. And then number 3, the then what, promptly admitted it. So step 10 is we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So tonight we're going to spend a little time looking at each of these parts of step 10. Of course, we need an acrostic. Tonight the word is 10. And the 10, the T-E-N, stands for T is take time to do a daily inventory. E, evaluate the good and the bad. And N, need to admit our wrongs promptly. The T answers the what question. Take time to do a daily inventory. To inventory something is simply to count it. Businesses take inventory all the time. Principle 7 reminds us to reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer. This gives us a quiet time to count the good and the bad things we did during a particular period of time. Lamentations 3:40 exhorts us to examine our ways and test them and return to the Lord. So this is the basic step we did in step 4, one of our first 9 steps. We did a fearless and moral, thorough moral inventory of ourselves, and looking back in our past. And again, this relates the first 9 to the past, and then these 3 now and the future. So, and that explains it. And again, that was an inventory of our grosser handicaps, and the bad and the good that we feel we've done in our life up to this point. And so this is the same, really, in a way. Step 10, 11, and 12 is kind of a mini version of the first 9 steps that we've done, that we did to sort of catch up to ourselves now. And then as we continue on, there's some basics in there that we just continue to do on a regular basis. And the taking an inventory, which is just counting the good and the bad things that we're doing, number one. And it's the take time to do a daily inventory. And when we take the inventory, we need to ask ourselves these questions. What good did I do today? In what areas did I blow it today? Did I do or say something that hurt anyone today? Do I owe anyone an amends today? What did I learn from my actions today? As we stressed in Principle 4, our daily inventories need to be balanced. We need to look at the things we did right as well as the areas in which we missed the mark and blew it. Believe it or not, by the time we get to Principle 7, we actually start doing a lot of things right. But if we are not careful, we can slowly slip back into our old habits, hang-ups, and dysfunctions. So we need to take regular, ongoing inventories. And I think that's a key sentence. But if we're not careful, we can slowly slip back into our old habits, hang-ups, and dysfunctions. So we need to take a regular, ongoing inventory. So I think the first part of this, to take the time, Principle 7 is perfect. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer. And that, we should be doing anyway. And just adding this, take that time. If we're doing that, building good habits, better habits now than maybe we had before, learning some of these tools to do, so take that time. That's the first part of this, and make that a regular habit so it's being done. Take the time, make the list. The E in our acrostic answers the why question. Evaluate the good and the bad. This step says when I'm wrong. This step forces me to admit that I'm going to be wrong and I'm going to make mistakes. I struggled with this for years in my early recovery until one day I saw a sign that was hanging in a meeting room. And the sign read, "Would you rather be right or well?" Would you rather be right or well? And I think that should be my mantra for recovery, because our ego and this and that gets involved. And one thing I've learned too in all of this is what I think is my right isn't always right, once I get down the road away. So here I'm fighting for something I think is, how many times I've had egg on my face and whatnot, I hate to count. So I can get all excited, jacked up about what this something that I think is right. And whether I am or not, in a way, would I rather be right or well anyway? Just start with that, and then it's a no-brainer. So 1 John 1:8 through 10 says, if we say we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. And it is perfectly proper for God to do this for us because Christ died to wash away our sins. If we claim we have not sinned, we are lying and calling God a liar, for he says we've sinned. In John 3:21, Jesus tells us, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Step 10 brings us on a daily basis into the light. So I think the why is probably the middle of this step is probably the key, the big point of the whole deal, the why. What I don't remember in history is bound to repeat itself. This helps me keep up with myself. From whence I came, I can certainly get back there if I don't keep tabs on myself. It keeps me current. If I don't stay current, again, I wander off. That's what got me here in the first place. I just love to wander off, it seems like, with stuff I get into. It's anti-relapse. It's evaluating, getting that time and going over the list and then evaluating those things really lets me know where I'm at spiritually. If some small thing is creeping in, that small thing, if not abated and checked, can grow and grow. And I know we're all busy, and it's hard to take that time, and it's hard to do some of this stuff. But anything that's worth doing is hard, and we have to make some priorities. We have to, is this important to us or not? And hopefully it would be. But like I say, I'm as guilty as anybody else for doing a good job of this for a while, and then, things in the world seem to be more important, or I just have to do this and that, and late for appointment, and on and on. But then looking at this stuff, identifying sins, whatever. That's this part of it is what I'm looking into to, like I say, keep me current with myself and do the double check. Let me know what's going on. And put a stop to it or work on it or whatever needs to be done. And we got the other tools for that. But so very important. And I like James 1:23 and 24, which says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And I can be that guy if I just kind of go off and don't have a somewhere where I stop and check in with myself and who am I? What am I? What am I about? When I look in the mirror, I want to be that same guy and not be wandering off. Okay. Once we see the light, we have a choice. We can ignore it or we can act on it. If we act, we are living the last part of step 10 and answer the N in our acrostic, answer the then what question. And the N is we need to admit our wrongs promptly. Promptly is the key word here. For years, I couldn't admit it when I was wrong. My wife can vouch for that. I couldn't admit my mistakes. My refusal to offer amends blocked all my relationships, especially with my family. As I grew and matured in the Word and recovery, I discovered that I had to own my mistakes and take responsibility for my actions. I couldn't do that if I didn't take time daily to allow God to show me where I missed the mark. I'll read that again. I discovered that I had to own my own mistakes and take responsibility for my actions. I couldn't do that if I didn't take time daily to allow God to show me where I missed the mark. And take time constantly. But the word promptly here and not doing some of this. When I was early in sobriety, and my sponsor, I finally got a good sponsor. I was in and out of AA. This was long before CR even started. I'd been in and out of AA for 8 years, and I just couldn't seem to get it. And I finally, they told me this one guy was the last guy on the block for people that just couldn't seem to, you know, all of us slippers continually. But anyway, I got this guy to be my sponsor, and I, my wife and I were having an argument, I guess you could call it, or an issue, and on. And so I called my sponsor, and, you know, she's this, she's that, she blah, 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 and you know, he's going to do something about it. And he says, this isn't about her, you know, this is about you. You know, she's put up with you for 25 years and you're crap, you know, why don't you leave her alone? Can you at least admit that you have 5%? First he said to go make an amends. I want you to go make an amends to her. And I said, I thought, this guy has lost it. I mean, go make an amends. She's totally wrong in this. And you're asking me to go, you know, make the amends. He said, well, are you responsible for even 5% of the problem? I said, well, I suppose so. Well, then go make amends for that. And he hangs up. He was a real loving sponsor, because he didn't want to hear any more of it. So I thought, at the same time, I was at a crossroads, if you will, with all where I'd been. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go do this. This seems like the dumbest thing I've ever. So I went and I made my amends, and it just sort of took the wind out of the sails. And okay, that. And then this happened again, and I don't even know why I called him. I kind of knew what he was going to say. And the same thing. He says, "You go make amends to her. Just, you know, you clean up your side of the street. Quit worrying about her. If anything you owe her, you know, so much, you'll never be able to pay it back. So go make your amends." And so I go crawling back, you know, and made an amends for my 2% or whatever. So this about 3 or 4 times, and finally she says, you're just making the amends because your sponsor's telling you to. I go, you're darn right. So, you know, and then she's, you know, then she's like, well, keep doing it anyway. It really feels good. So in reality, he was having me work step 10. I didn't even know it. I was making amends. Step 10 to me has just been key. Our marriage started healing with that. And a lot of things. I still, to this day, that thing about would you rather be right or well and whatnot. And even to this day, we can be in the middle, and I'm just thinking, there's just no hope for this. I mean, and I will go, I'll just remember, you know, just go make an amends. Just go make it, and I will go back and do that. And that one thing has just helped our marriage and my life, like this guy says here, relationships, especially with his family, as I grew and matured in the Word and recovery. And that's, we had the humility to drop the ball, to make the amends, even though I thought, you know, why should I? But I had to take care of my side of the street and decided to do what this guy asked me to do. And he turned out to be a genius. I thought he was crazy there for a while. But step 10 says promptly, as soon as I realize that I blew it, I need to promptly admit it and make amends if needed. Matthew 5:23-24, Jesus tells us, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then come back and work things out with God. In other words, admit your wrongs promptly. So we take the time to make time every day for God and just read the Bible, meditate, and do our list. We evaluate ourselves in that, and we do it promptly. We do it quickly. We make the list quickly, and I say we do it constantly. I have more than I like to count episodes with waitresses and waiters, bank tellers, secretaries on the phone. You know, if I'm hungry and I'm in a restaurant and it's like they just seem to be poking around, somehow this bear comes out of me and just goes crazy. And I had to start realizing I'm not put here to hassle people and make their life worse. And they might be the worst waiter in the world or whatever, but it's still not my place to sit there. But I'll catch myself just, you know, going into one of my little tizzies, and I have to stop myself and apologize. And I've learned to do that, and it's really paid off. One time I got on a bank teller. I forget what it was, but it really wasn't her fault. But I'm all over her, like, you know what? And I did my list that night and whatnot, and I realized I have to go back and make an amends. So I went back the next day, and there she was. So I got in line. I thought I did it publicly in line, so I'm going to make my amends. I get up there, and, you know, I'm really sorry about yesterday. I just was very rude to you, and I'm just really sorry and all this. And then she goes, I didn't work yesterday. I wasn't here. I thought, well, you sure look like the lady that works. She said, yeah, we're kind of the same size. So, like, then I had to go do it, you know, all again some other time. So, and you'd think that would stop me, but, you know. So one time I made an amends to a guy in a parking lot. It was at Clackamas Town Center, and I had a parking spot. And I was the guy that should get it, and this other guy pulled right and kind of stole it from me, you know. And so I'm, you know, the finger thing, yelling out the window, and then he gets out of the car, and he's just like this huge monster. So I thought, well, I think I better move on. I hate to think if he'd have been, you know, kind of a little scrawny guy, but anyway, I moved on. So anyway, I'm walking into Borders over there, whatever the store. Well, here the guy is over there in the bookstore, and I'm thinking, well, God, because I thought, well, I'll never see the guy again. So I'm thinking, well, okay, God's. So I thought, I go to make my amends. He's between two rows of books, and I don't get too close because I don't know what he's going to do. But anyway, I say, I'm sorry. I'm the one out in the parking lot that was acting like a jerk, and I apologize, even though it really was my spot. I was right. And it worked out. But I do remember I was just sort of like, cautious. But I don't know. I've just adopted that. Like I say, step 10 just has worked for me, and I've done it, and it's made me feel better. I am doing better with it. You do that enough, and you just sort of learn to shut your mouth and let it go. And that, but there's times when, you know, it just happens. But so do it quickly. You know, just take care of business and get it done, so it isn't something that's hanging on day after day and whatnot. And I really think there's a lot of healing that occurs if we'll do some of this stuff. It can be hard, or it can just be humbling, you know, and whatnot, which is kind of the point, you know, to just not make ourselves so big and that what. Wrap up. One way to easily keep track of your good and bad behavior is to keep a journal. Now, your journal is not for you to record the calories that you had for lunch today or your carpool schedule for school. Your journal is a tool. Your journal is a tool for you to review and write down the good and the bad things you did today. Look for negative patterns, issues that you are continually writing down and having to promptly make amends for again and again. Share them with your sponsor and accountability partner. Set up an action plan for you with God's help to overcome them. Try to keep your journal for 7 days. Start out by writing down one thing that you are thankful for from your experiences from the day. That will get you writing. If you haven't used a journal so far in your recovery, I believe you will find this recovery tool a great help. I encourage you to make journaling a daily part of your program. Next week, we'll talk about the how-tos of step 10 and ways of avoiding constantly needing to offer your amends again. But I've journaled. I've been good at it and I've been bad at it. I filled this book up. And it is pretty cool to do that. And you actually start writing. Some of this stuff I can't hardly read. It seems like I go to my journal when I'm having a really bad day and just kind of write some kind of, you know, I don't know what kind of stuff here, but it's kind of interesting to go through it. But it is a good tool. And then my daughter got me this gratitude journal. So there's journal things out there. And then if you do take the step study, it helps you in here too. It's in one of the lessons. Well, in this lesson, there's some blank pages in there for that. And so I recommend you do that. It is a good tool. So thanks very much for listening. And hope you got something out of that. God bless.